What a wonderful song. A great message there in itself. Again, this morning we're looking in Isaiah chapter 65, and we'll be looking at verses 20 through 25. Last Sunday we looked at the same chapter, but 17 through 19, which we talked about the new heavens and the new earth. This morning we'll be looking at the new kingdom that God will be creating one of these days. In the future, could be the near future, we don't know, but it will take place. So the title is The Blessings of a New Heaven and New Earth. So scripture says new heavens, so in a new earth. So along with me as I read, beginning with verse 20. No longer will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his days. For the youth will die at the age of 100, and the one who does not reach the age of 100 will be thought accursed. They will build houses and inhabit them. They will also plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They will not build and another inhabit. They will not plant and another eat. For as a lifetime of a tree, so will the days of my people, and my chosen ones will wear out the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. For they are the offspring of those blessed by the Lord, and their descendants with them. I will also come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will graze together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox, and the dust will be the servant's food. They will do no evil or harm in all of my holy mountain, saith the Lord. So looking at this passage of scripture, talking about the new kingdom this morning, Isaiah's vision, as we look at this passage of scripture, reaches out beyond time and it stretches into eternity. Now, he sees not only a renewal of the earth under the Messiah, Christ, who will reign, but further, he still gets a glimpse of the total new creation as Isaiah, as Peter, as Revelation, John wrote Revelations, as they speak of the new heavens and the new earth. So, when you're looking in the New Testament versus the Old Testament, joined together and looking forward to just a such event. So, Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Following this, Peter says, according to God's promises. God promises this, it will take place, just as the very beginning of time when he created the heavens and the earth and when the flood came. Noah preached for 120 years and people didn't believe it. Noah did. He kept preaching and it took place just as God had promised. And then God will create, according to verse 13 of 2 Peter 3, new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. What a wonderful time that will be. No more sin, no more temptations, and none of those things that try to hinder us living for Christ. So, also, looking into our scriptures, the Apostle John reaffirms the vision reported by Isaiah and Peter when he said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." And that's Revelation 21:1. So when we look at this grand drama of sin and redemption has been played out, the curtain will fall. When it's played out, when all of this takes place, we'll know it will happen. So, but then a new curtain will rise. You think about that. A play where glories we cannot even imagine will take place. Our eyes or ears, we have not seen or heard, as Paul says, what's prepared for those who love the Lord. The righteous will dwell there. So, let's look at the new kingdom. According to Isaiah here this morning, from here, from this passage of scripture, it's a description of the kingdom age when Christ will rule and reign for 1,000 years on the earth. You and I won't be here though, right? The rapture will have taken place. We'll be in the heaven of glories. Only those who have been left behind will be going through this tribulation and so forth, the 7 years. And then after that, the 1,000-year reign, where Christ will be in completely control of everything that he has established and created. So though it's a preliminary to the creation of the new heavens and earth, verse 17 that we read last week, for some reason it is presented second. But the reason it's not thought to refer to the eternal heaven is because sin and death have not been totally destroyed. Okay? So that helps us better understand, as our prophets did not set forth precisely between Jesus' first coming and second coming, Isaiah here combines the Messiah and the eternal ages to come. So when we look in verse 20, it kind of gives us the characteristics of the Messiah age. So we know it's not the eternal state because people still die. All right, which will not be possible in the new heavens and the new earth. The best clarify this is, look with me in verse 20 again. And this is why Isaiah says, "No longer will there be in it an infant who lives out a few days, or an old man who does not live out his lives. Now they will," according to Isaiah. "For the youth will die at the age of 100, and the one who does not reach the age of 100 will be thought accused of," that's because of sin. Now, the protection and safety of infants is characteristic of the Messiah age. You know, in our world today, some infants, unborn, don't have a chance, do they? They don't have a chance in this world today, but here they will in the new millennium. Now, God, his protection and safety will happen. And God's Messiah kingdom also brings long life. And he will give people the opportunity to live out their lives. You know, we have a fairly long life, you know, 70 now, 70 plus, with all the technologies and things that we have today. But nothing will be compared to then, where there will be no death at that point. But the death will still be present. Life still, you know, the span will be extended even longer. And remember that the descendants of the first Adam lived for more than 100 years upon the earth. And that was in the Old Testament, where they lived to be in, well, Methuselah, what, 969 years he lived. How would you like to live that long here on this earth and have to deal with the things we deal with? Be difficult, wouldn't it? Well, that's why God thought ahead, had a plan for the righteous to dwell with him forever and ever. So in the kingdom age, there will be a health and peace and righteousness to such a degree that most people will live all the way through to the millennium. I was reading about a guy who was celebrating his 100th birthday. 100 years old. And a reporter was talking to him, and he was curious. How did he manage to live so long? He was saying, what is your secret that you live so long? And he said, well, son, I got married when I was 21 years old, and my wife and I made an agreement with one another. If we ever got mad at one another, and that the one who won the argument would take a walk, and they would walk till they got over being mad. And well, he said, how did that work? He said, well, God has blessed me with 79 years of fresh air. So someday mankind will be blessed with fresh air, won't he? We will. We'll be going to be blessed with long lives. According to Psalms 91:16, I just got rid of that when it's up there. With long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. How wonderful is that? That Psalms tells us, with long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. Now, as Christians, Christians won't have physical bodies at that time. We won't be ruling and reigning with Christ during the millennium. Why? We will already be called up into heaven, called the rapture, and therefore this doesn't apply to us, but to those who come to the Lord during the tribulation. Those that will be saved during the tribulation, and that's including the 144,000, and those are Jews that will be saved during the tribulation. So it will also be a time when people are no longer deprived of the fruit of their labors, as verse 21 says, and it's up there on our screen. They will build houses, inhabit them. They will also plant vineyards and eat their fruit. So it will be a plentiful and productive time, even for those who follow Christ. And then in verse 22, it talks about the injustice of this age will disappear, which will be wonderful, won't it? The age in which we live in. And verse 22 says, they will not build and another inhabit, they will not plant and another eat, for as the lifetime of a tree, and we know lifetimes of trees, a long, long time, and that's the comparison Isaiah is using here. So will the days of my people and my chosen ones will wear out the work of their hands. So they won't wear out. How wonderful is that? See, what Isaiah is saying, for those, the righteous, and those who endure during the tribulation, their labor won't be bitter or in vain. They will live to enjoy. And in the kingdom age, in this verse 22, the houses and the vineyards people build and plant will be far greater and be a blessing to their lives. So, when we look at what Isaiah is saying here in God's promises, his people will live a long, long time, as long as the trees, as they will be productive as trees planted by the streams of the water. And why are trees so healthy and productive next to the streams of the water? Because they get nourishment, don't they? They get nourishment from the streams and the waters. And so any people who look to God will be blessed by him. But the fullness of God's blessing still await us. Now in verse 23, as we look at this, it recaps the previous thought and provides a further reason why these blessings, conditions will prevail. They will take place. So look with me at verse 23 again, which says, they will not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they are the offspring of those blessed by the Lord and their descendants with them. So God's blessing will be on their work and families. See, this is a promises that Isaiah is talking about. It's the promises that we have now. These are the promises that Isaiah and Peter and John and even Paul talks about that is coming to those who will endure to the end. Those who claim God's promises. Those who know they have hope and they can trust God, and he will fulfill all of these. See, I also see here the reversal of the curse of the fall. So on the account of Eve's sin, childbirth became painful. It was painful. And it describes that in Genesis chapter 3. But when you look at it here, according to what Isaiah is saying, yet the promise is more than simple pain-free childbirth. The promise also encompasses a lack of dread over the future, which parents experience knowing that the evil that the world can bring against their children. No more. No more. That's the promise, other promise, that Isaiah, according to God, Revelation 2, his people to us today will take place. And I see another blessing here in verse 24 of God's kingdom. And it's a remarkable promise. And it's perfect communion with God. Perfect communion with God. You know, we can commune with God here on this earth as we pray. And as we voice our requests and our concerns and our petitions. But it will be a perfect communion with God. We will be in his presence. And it can't be any better than that. He will speedily answer their prayers as he answers our prayers today. It will also come to pass that before they call, I will answer, according to verse 24. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. Before they even get through the prayer, God says, I will hear. I'm already in action according to your prayer. So in this fallen world, communication with God sometimes is difficult, isn't it? It is. It's difficult. But not in the Messiah age, a millennium age. See, God will respond to their thoughts. He will respond to their needs before they finish asking for them. He will make it happen. And during their time of prayer, he will make it happen. He will anticipate their requests and answer them as they are voiced. Verse 24 says, before they call, I will answer. You know, God knows what we need before we pray, doesn't he? He already knows. And sometimes, you know, we give up before he answers our prayers because we think, well, yeah, it's not going to happen. And sometimes it's a test in our life. How much do we trust God? He's going to answer. We need to pray with anticipation that whatever we ask in his name, and if it's a need in our life, he will answer it. And sometimes, you know, we have to wait and get on board with him and understand what his real purpose for our lives are. And if we're always praying in a way that is suitable to him answering our prayers. But he will give us the answer. And it will be for our best interest when he answers our prayers. See, prayer is one of the best free gifts we receive. It is. Prayer is one of the best free gifts we receive or given. Because the Bible encourages us to pray. Pray for one another. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our nation. Pray for our churches. And there is no cost. You think about it, no cost to praying, but a lot of rewards. And Junior talked about those rewards a while ago in his song, The Old Rugged Cross. See, the nature of animals also, you know, is mentioned here, verse 25. You think, a lot of wild animals out here in this earth, aren't they? And sometimes you don't know how to approach them and so forth, especially if they're wild. But in this verse, it tells us that the nature of the animals also changed in the Mosaic age. So evidently, there are going to be animals around too, aren't they? They are. God created them just like he did us. Of course, we are special. We have a soul. And our soul will be with God one of these days. So verse 25 gives the last concrete example of how the kingdom age will be different. In verse 25, it says, the wolf and lamb were grazed together. Now, that doesn't happen now, does it? But it will. That's so amazing. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. And normally that doesn't happen either, does it? They're meat eaters. And the dust will be the serpent's food. Praise the Lord, right? And they will do no evil or harm in my holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord. So the effects of the fall have made the world a dangerous place. Sin. Sin caused all of this. The things that we deal with in this world, sin is a corporate of it. The fall of man. But in the kingdom age, wild animals will lose their brutality. And Isaiah talked about that back in chapter 11. And Hosea also talks about that in chapter 2, verse 18. And harmony and safety will prevail. Now, in the kingdom, harmony will replace evil and humility will be the order of the age. And everything will be fully restored when Christ reigns here on earth during the 1,000-year reign. Now, in conclusion, many of you will be watching the Super Bowl today, right? And you've probably watched the Super Bowls over the past years. I have not watched one single game of football this year just because I disapprove of the things that they stand for right now, not saluting and not honoring our nation and our flag, a symbol of our freedom. But still, many people are doing that, are watching the football. And as I was thinking about after the game today, what are they going to be doing? The one who wins. They're going to be celebrating, right? And I just thought, you know, all the pain and all the practices and all the contacts and everything, the bruises and hurts and the hospitalization some of them have, they won't even be thinking about that, will they? They'll be in the locker room, they'll probably be doing some crazy dancing, and be stuff flying all over the locker room. Nobody's going to be thinking about all the hard work they had to do to get where they did to win today. And it's going to be a celebration. They're going to say, "We did it. We won. We all are champions, my friends." And there's a song out like that. We are the winners. So that's way it's going to be happen. Like that's what it's going to be like in heaven for us one of these days, isn't it? All the things that we endured on this earth, we're not going to be thinking about that. All the heartaches, all the tears, all the sickness, all the things like that is going to be wiped away. It's going to be a time of celebration. And I just think, you know, Abraham, he'll be running over to someone and give them a high five, reckon? And I just see Peter and Paul going over and patting Billy Graham on the back. And you know what? You and I will be greeting our loved ones who's gone on before us. We'll be celebrating. And we do that eternally. And we'll be singing, standing actually before Jesus. And you know what he'll say? He'll say, "Congratulations, you've made it. Welcome to your rewards." Again, Junior sung about that in his song this morning, about the rewards and so forth. But what are we going to do with those rewards? We're going to say, "Thank you, Jesus, I deserve these." No, we'll lay them down at his feet and thank him for allowing us to be a part of the kingdom of God, that he paid the ultimate price, the sacrifice for us to be there with him in heaven. What a glorious day that's going to be. And that's why Isaiah is talking about here in chapter 65 and 66 next week. The glorious times that God is preparing for us. The ones that Peter is talking about. You know, Peter had a rough time in his life. Denials and things like that. But then he saw the love of Jesus and what Jesus talked about, promises of being a part of the kingdom of God. And John on the Isle of Patmos, as God gave him the revelation to write in you know, chapter 21, verse 1, "I see a new heaven and a new earth. The old things have passed away, but new things have come." It's kind of like 2 Corinthians 5:17. "If we be in Christ, we are a new creation. The old things are passed away, new things have come." And that's the way heaven's going to be. The old things are passed away, and new things are there for us to behold forever and ever and ever. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the message today from Isaiah, that giving us the forefront knowledge of the things to come. And Lord, we need to think about this with anticipation, and as we pray and communicate with you and you with us, it should encourage us and give us greater joy knowing that you're with us here on this earth and eternally. Lord, we thank you for each one here and those listening today. And you know every one of our needs, you know, before we even ask, as your scripture tells us, you will answer them as we're asking. And you already have everything in place for us to behold and to enjoy. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your presence here in our service this day. And Lord, may we encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching, as your scripture tells us. that others will be encouraged and not doubt, but with joy claim your promises. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing My Jesus, I Love Thee.